If I try to kiss you, aka, if I try to kiss you, will you slap me? Yes, no. Please tick appropriate box. A Merlin RPS fanfiction written by Slowdead. Colin and Bradley meet through a mutual friend, start sending each other cards, and end up falling for each other. But it's still all rather complicated, possibly because they keep trying to make it complicated. Colin's uncle owns this little shop just outside campus that sells some of the usual things you'd expect in a bookstore, like actual books, but also a bunch of random stuff like novelty pens and cups, and basically all sorts of other knickknacks. Colin likes it there, practically grew up in it, and the fact that he can get all the books in the world doesn't hurt either. One of the things Colin always looked forward to most when he was a kid, after the shipment of new books every Monday of course, were the cards his uncle sells. They were the average happy birthday and get well soon cards you could find in just about any shop. Colin's uncle always took his time selecting special cards that weren't available just anywhere. Richard often allowed young students from the art department to show him their work, and if he liked it, he bought some of their cards to sell in the shop. Then one day, during Colin's first year of college, Richard started selling cards by this guy called Andre Jordan. They weren't spectacular or beautiful, like some of the other cards they sold, but they were probably the funniest Colin had ever seen. Not that they were funny in any traditional way or anything. Colin figured they just matched his sense of humour quite nicely. Bradley's never been really good at Monday mornings. He knows it's clichéd, and by God, there aren't many things Bradley detests more than being average. So he gets up at 7 in the morning every Monday and bluffs his way through the whole thing. He puts on a smile so bright that he secretly imagines people running away from him completely blind. That's what Monday mornings will do to you. They blind. That's why, one Monday morning, after he was fully caffeinated and is still stuffed from the full English breakfast he got in his favourite deli, and generally feeling like crap because it's still Monday, he finds himself knocking at Colin and Joe's door. He will not face misery alone if he can help it. Bradley has to knock for another 3 minutes or so before the door swings open, revealing a hastily dressed Colin, he's wearing his shirt inside out, who is looking quite murderous. Success! Colin wordlessly lets Bradley in, offers him something to drink. This boy is way too polite, Bradley thinks, before falling down in his bed again. Colin, Bradley says, poking Colin's back. Colin. Colin mumbles. What? Where's Joe? Colin rolls over on the bed, facing Bradley now. His inside-out shirt rode up on his stomach a little. Bradley snickers. Joe, Colin, where is he? He didn't come home last night. Colin's grin is wide and a little too suggestive for Bradley's taste, so he simply says, gross, before sitting down on Joe's chair. Colin's chair is almost unrecognisable beneath all the clutter. Bradley's known Joe since forever. He can't even remember when or how they met. Joe's just sorta always been there. And then they started college, and they got different rooms and different roommates. Joe got extremely lucky and ended up with Colin, who is, except for some clutter, the best roommate anyone could possibly get. He's never loud or obnoxious, and he's always polite and incredibly friendly, even to all of Joe's friends who, Bradley admits, can be extremely vulgar and obnoxious. Bradley's a little jealous. His own roommate smells and keeps having sex with his girlfriend in their room and sometimes, Bradley suspects, in Bradley's bed. I have a class in... Colin starts, then looks over at Bradley and asks, what time is it? 9:50. 10 minutes, Colin finishes. And since I'm awake anyway, I better go. Bradley grins. His Monday morning offensive has ensured that Colin goes to his Monday class, which, Bradley knows for a fact, Colin detests. So Bradley thinks that's reason enough to be proud of himself. Colin gets out of bed and goes through the mess on his desk. How he finds anything in there is a mystery to all who dare enter this room. Bradley's pretty sure stuff of his has gotten lost in the black hole that is Colin's desk, just by proximity. Bradley's suspicion is confirmed when Colin suddenly says, oh yeah, and gives Bradley something. Bradley hopes it's his chemistry textbook. He's been looking for that everywhere. It isn't, though. It's a card. There are two figures sitting back to back to one another. The one on the left says, I am a very complicated person. And the one on the right says, we are both very complicated persons. And underneath them are the words, best friends. When Colin gets back from class just after lunch, Joe is lying face down on his bed, snoring loudly. His jeans are around his ankles, shoes still on, and his shirt is halfway pulled up over his head, his arms awkwardly confined in the shirt. Colin laughs and texts Bradley, describing the situation quite detailed, and so within minutes, Bradley's up in their room again, taking pictures of Joe or his cell phone. If he finds those, he's going to blame me, you know that, right? Colin asks, but he can't help laughing either. No, he won't, Bradley assures him. And besides, he honestly shouldn't expect any less from me. Do you know how many naked pictures he has of me? Colin stares. Bradley's eyes widen. Wait, that came out wrong, didn't it? Let's just say this is a warped little tradition me and Joe have got going on. He laughs and sits down on Joe's chair again. Colin thinks back to his friends back home, and how he hadn't really met anyone like Joe or Bradley, or any of their other friends, before coming to college. He isn't sure if he's happy that his childhood got spared from, obviously, weird pranks and embarrassing pictures, or if he feels like he somehow missed out. He definitely can't deny the flood of warmth he feels whenever Joe and Bradley include him in whatever they're doing. Joe wakes up shortly after, not cross, but grinning and full of stories about what happened last night. Colin doesn't really care about hearing that stuff, and judging by the faces Bradley's pulling, Bradley would rather hear about something else, too. On a Friday, Bradley crashes Colin's art history class. He's going out with Joe and Colin later, and he's tired of sitting in his room, listening to his roommate having phone sex. Bradley sometimes wonders if anyone would notice, or mind, if he dragged his mattress in Joe's room and just slept there for the rest of the year. He creeps in through the back and sits directly behind Colin. Colin always sits in the same spot. Bradley doesn't know what that's all about. It seems a little OCD to Bradley, but whatever. It makes it easier for Bradley to find Colin whenever he crashes one of his classes. Colin hasn't noticed him yet, and so Bradley settles back in his seat and listens to the lecture for a couple of minutes before deciding that yes, this class is still as boring as Bradley remembered it being. He grabs something out of his bag and throws it on Colin's desk. Colin twists his neck to read what it says before taking the card and turning that around instead. There's a strange white figure on a black background with bat ears or something, and in text that is written upside down underneath the figure, it says, I am bored, shitless. Colin laughs and looks behind him. Bradley grins and gives him the thumbs up. Art history might be sort of a sissy class. It's given by one of the biggest bullies Bradley has ever seen. This professor has a reputation of making students run out of the auditorium crying. Bradley himself has witnessed it several times already. Yet he crashes Colin's classes quite often. And so it doesn't surprise him that Colin turns around again without saying a word and sends him a text message instead. What are you doing here? You're in my classes more often than your own. How do you explain that? Bradley replies, Ben's having phone sex in our room. And then, I was bored all alone. And then, in your classes, I don't feel the same I have to pass this exam pressure, so it's actually kind of relaxing. You could have crashed Joe's class. Ew, biology? Bradley sees Colin shake his head before he replies again. Where'd you get the card? Your uncle told me you love this guy. Then Bradley sends, in a non-sexual way, I hope. You know, I bet he has a card that says that, Colin replies. Bradley likes Richard. Colin used to take Bradley to the shop sometimes when he needed to pick up something, mostly a book, or when he just wanted to say hi to his uncle. Lately, Bradley's been going there on his own too. He used to buy his books in one of the other bookstores, but Richard always gives him a good deal, and Bradley quite likes being around the guy. Yesterday, he'd been chatting with Richard for a good 20 minutes when he'd noticed the card Colin had given him a couple of weeks before. He'd taken a look at the other cards from the same guy, and Bradley suddenly understood why Colin liked him so much. Joe takes them out to a bar that night, in celebration of something Colin can't quite remember by the time the night is over. It's a regular night out, or as regular as it gets with these guys. Darren and Peter are there too, giving Bradley a hard time and teasing him about absolutely everything. It's hard to bring Bradley down, though, and so he just laughs and joins in on all the joking. Colin always admired that about Bradley. Not that he can't join in when his friends are having a laugh at his expense, but Bradley just always does it with so much grace and makes it seem so easy. Colin orders them another round. Bradley crowds him in the booth and laughs against his neck and in his ear. Colin fists his hands in Bradley's shirt and laughs too, even though he isn't sure he remembers what they were laughing about in the first place. Bradley wakes up the next morning with a huge chunk of his memory missing. For a moment, he can't even remember his name or what life was like without the splitting headache. He takes a deep breath, only to suddenly have a mouth full of hair. Bradley pushes at the source of the hair and struggles to open his crusted eyes. Finally, he manages to push whatever away and opens his eyes in time to see Joe falling out of the bed. Bradley winces. Joe just keeps snoring. Bradley rubs at his face and shrugs to himself. What Joe doesn't know can't hurt him, except that that fall down probably did bruise him a little and therefore will hurt him later. Bradley stares down to see that there's a card taped to his chest. There's a picture of someone lying in bed. The face has a completely creepy smile on it, probably having something to do with the tent that is drawn rising in the blankets. Underneath this picture are the words, "Evil child." It takes Bradley a good 20 minutes to find his cell phone. He spends the first 12 minutes waiting for the room to stop spinning enough for him to stand up. "I can't believe you touched my naked chest while I was sleeping," is what he sends Colin first. Then he sends his sister a text telling her to let their parents know he probably won't be coming home this weekend. Bradley walks to his own room to get his toothbrush and stuff. He really needs a shower. "How come you're up and out already? You had as many drinks as I did." Still no answer. Bradley worries for a moment that maybe they left Colin somewhere last night. That would be too strange, though, because why would he be sleeping in Joe's bed if Colin's bed was free? "Where are you?" he sends eventually before hopping in the shower. When he gets out of the shower, already feeling heaps better, thank you very much, steaming hot water, a text message is waiting for him. "At Richard's. I promised I'd help him out on Saturday. I don't remember what happened last night, but my face hurts." Bending down to open the boxes is destroying Colin's head. He can only try and calculate how many brain cells he killed yesterday night and mourn them silently as he puts more books on the shelves. This is usually the best part of his weekend, but this weekend he's just groaning in agony with every move he makes. His uncle had not been impressed by the state he was in when he'd shown up 2 hours late this morning. "You look worse than I feel." Colin startles and drops one of the books on his foot. "Oh, bloody." He turns around and half-heartedly glares at Bradley. "Bloody hell," Bradley finishes for him, grinning smugly. "I come in peace, Colin. No need to sissy swear at me." As to prove his point, Bradley holds up the two paper bags that are currently filling the shop with the most wonderful smell of Earl Grey tea and fresh bagels. Colin can't stay mad after that, as Bradley had planned all along. "How's Joe?" Colin asks around a mouthful of his scone. Bradley bought scones. He's quite awesome and pleased with himself right now, as Colin practically moans with every bite he takes. Bradley says. "He was still sleeping when I left." Colin grunts something in response while sipping from his cup of tea. "Hey, how did I end up in your room?" Bradley asks, staring at the wall of cards behind Colin. "We passed by your room first, but Ben was in there and not alone, if you catch my drift." Bradley groans. Happy not to remember that, although there are plenty of memories from other occasions that are now resurfacing. He makes a face, and Colin snickers. When Colin gets home that afternoon, Joe's gone and there's a card on his pillow. A long skinny arm is holding a pen, writing out, "I am autistic. Please help me." On the back it says, in Bradley's messy handwriting, though Colin can tell he put some effort in this, "Yes, that's your scrawny wrist right there." Colin puts the postcard on his desk, together with his coat and bag, and texts Bradley. "My wrists aren't scrawny, and taking a few art classes doesn't make me autistic, by the way." Bradley simply answers, "For." "For what?" "Art classes, Colin." The next morning, Joe hands him another card. He's brushing his teeth and tells Colin, toothbrush still in his mouth and everything. It's strangely endearing. Someone shoved this under our door this morning. I figured it was for you. All the lonely people. Where do they all come from?
Underneath this, there's a building with a sign that says Art College.
Joe rinses. With you being the artsy one and all. Colin grins down at the card and shakes his head. Who's it from?
Oh, just Bradley, Colin says,
trying to remember what other new cards his uncle got 2 days ago.
Bradley?
Joe frowns. Since when does he give anyone anything? He snorts. Colin shrugs. It's an inside joke, I guess.
Hang on a minute. Joe looks lost. Since when are you guys getting inside jokes?
You and I don't even have an inside joke yet.
Sure we do. Hey, Joe, remember the time you didn't have any pants on?
Joe pouts and sits down in his bed. That's not between you and me. That's between me and everyone I know. Colin gives Joe a pat on the back and says, we'll find something else then. Colin spends the rest of the day thinking about what sort of card he should get Bradley. He eats lunch with Katie after his morning class and tells her about the cards. She looks at him in a peculiar way, but doesn't say anything about it. Colin doesn't want to push her, but he's still sort of wary about what she might be thinking. Katie's thoughts, Colin has discovered throughout the years, are often very dangerous and mysteriously correct. After his afternoon class, Colin walks to the bookstore and spends another half an hour half-heartedly talking to Richard while staring at the cards before he makes up his mind.
Be nice, it says in big font. In smaller font, it reads, else you'll spend the rest of your life fighting and competing and you'll never trust anyone and you'll end up just not being very happy and stuff.
They have sex in Bradley's room that night. Bradley's pretty sure that the passion must have been real strong at the time because there wasn't one moment he considered stopping. Or maybe he was just really, really horny. It's only now, afterwards, when he's alone in his room, that he really allows himself to think about what happened. And then he panics. His friend Darren always told him that the worst thing he could do was lose his virginity to a virgin. Someone with experience, according to Darren, was good, but a prostitute was even better. Bradley isn't sure why he's friends with Darren, actually. He never pays for his own drinks, and he punched Bradley in the mouth on several occasions. He was sort of right about this, though, Bradley thinks. Having sex with someone who knows what they're doing probably would have made last night slightly less uncomfortable at times. There was a lot of wincing and awkward silences and just general badness. But then on the other hand, Bradley can't imagine a prostitute with lips like Colin's, so full and downright slutty, if you take some time out to really think about them. Bradley doesn't think there'd be any prostitutes with Colin's hips either. Bradley quite likes them now that he'd been up close and personal with them. They were a pair of rather nice hips. Bradley especially liked the way they felt under his hands when he gripped them tightly. And suddenly Bradley wonders if he left bruises on Colin. And this really shouldn't be speeding up his heartbeat like it is. It was also kind of nice that Colin wasn't experienced, because now Bradley hadn't felt so silly about it being over so fast, since Colin had finished just as soon. Truth is, Bradley hadn't really known he'd wanted things with Colin to go in that direction until they'd already been tangled up in the sheets, and now he didn't seem to be able to stop thinking about Colin and those slutty lips and what they did. It was all starting to get a little too much for Bradley. And so when Colin comes by that afternoon, Bradley behaves somewhat like a total asshole. Joe sent me, Colin grins. He's desperately trying to finish that paper that was due the day before yesterday or something, and he needs some of your notes. He said he couldn't come himself because he needs every second of every minute to write. Colin's smile turns somewhat shy, but I told him I didn't mind coming over. All Bradley gets from that is,
why yes, Bradley, I do in fact have slutty lips and a pair of luscious hips that I'm conveniently hiding underneath these baggy jeans.
What? Oh, the notes. Yeah, Joe texted me about those. Bradley turns away from Colin and quickly retrieves those notes from his bag. He hands them over to Colin and tries smiling. The way Colin's own smile falls a bit and his eyes turned all worried tell Bradley that he's probably looking like an idiot.
Hey, are you okay? Oh yeah, Bradley says quickly. Totally fine, yeah, totally.
Okay, because you look a little...
Colin steps a little closer to Bradley. No, don't worry about me. You should probably get those notes back to Joe, right?
Bradley nods and steps back. Before Colin can say anything else, Bradley thumps him on the shoulder and says, "Okay, bye, mate," and closes the door behind Colin. He's so incredibly screwed. Colin stares at his cell phone and deletes the lonely "hey" he'd typed out over 10 minutes before. He's already deleted the "why don't you come over? I miss you, I'm sorry, okay?" and "you're such an idiot." But the only thing he can think of is, "I'm such a bloody idiot." For the fifth time, and I want you to answer me this time, "what's wrong?" Joe asks, chucking a pillow at Colin's head. Colin glares at Joe. "You have to finish this paper, Joe." "My roommate means more to me than a stupid paper, and right now my roommate is looking like crap." "So's your paper." Colin does feel bad about making Joe worry, but it's not like he can go somewhere else to pout. That would be a little ridiculous. Besides, he's already tried that, and Katie was not amused by him lying on her bed sulking. "It's late 4 days already. I doubt one more day will make or break my grades, you know." Colin shrugs. "Tell me or go be emo somewhere else," Joe groans, obviously frustrated. "Just an idiot," Colin says, but he doesn't want to say more, so he gets up and grabs his coat. "Fine, I'll go to the supermarket. Want anything?" Colin opens the door the exact moment Bradley's trying to slide a card under it. Colin says, "Hi." Bradley scrambles up and flushes adorably. Well, not adorably, just really very red and, yeah, it's adorable. Colin really can't help it. "Hi," Bradley says, and Colin doesn't know why he's hiding the card behind his back now. They both know Colin saw it. "You're going out?" "He's going to the supermarket," Joe calls from his desk. "You should go with him and find out what's making him pull that 'someone killed my puppy' face." Colin scowls. "I think I'll do that," Bradley says. Bradley doesn't like shopping. He hates buying clothes and socks and whatever people buy when they go shopping. He does, however, really enjoy going to the supermarket. It's a little strange, and it's not like he's in the supermarket every day of the week or anything. He just feels like he can relax there. It must be being this close to all the food, Bradley reasons. Bradley takes grocery shopping quite seriously, too. He goes through every aisle methodically, envisioning what he needs and how much. He even has his own shopping cart system. They're already at the frozen food section when Bradley realizes Colin hasn't said anything yet. He guesses he should probably say something first either way. He was the one who got all awkward and weird to Colin in the first place. It's not like he could really help it, though. How can anyone expect him to talk to Colin when he can't even form actual words and sentences around the guy anymore? Sentences that aren't, "I don't know how it happened, but I'm something very crazy about you." "You haven't taken anything yet," Bradley says instead. "I didn't really need anything. Joe just wanted me out of there. He's still writing that paper," Colin explains. Bradley wants to say, "about last Monday," but he doesn't know how to finish that without making a fool out of himself, and Bradley James is not about to make a fool out of himself in the middle of the supermarket. Instead, he just stops walking and takes the card out of his pocket and hands it over to Colin. On it, it says, "I've been a bloody moron. Again." Colin stares at him, a little incredulous, and so eventually Bradley adds, "Sorry." Colin finally breaks the stare and starts smiling. And even with all the pleasure Bradley gets out of grocery shopping, he doesn't think he's ever been this happy in a supermarket before. "Yeah," Colin says. Bradley doesn't think he's ever been kissed in a supermarket before either. He's happy he decided to try that one out now. Yay! Things turn a little hectic after that. The next Monday, finals start, and Colin's never been this stressed out in his entire life. There aren't enough minutes in the hours and not enough seconds in the minutes. Colin feels like he's running on licorice crisps and the sheer willpower to stay alive. The whole time he doesn't see anyone except for Joe, and he talks to Katie on the phone maybe once. Joe's not doing very well. Stress makes him unbearable to be around, and so Colin tries to sleep while Joe studies and study while Joe sleeps. It doesn't always go very well, and Joe ends up running out of the room screaming once or twice. He texts Bradley all the time, though, his belly doing strange flips whenever his mobile buzzes. Bradley seems to be coping surprisingly well. He tells Colin that he has study systems too. He won't share them, though.
Colin's done with exams fairly soon, though. They'd all been packed together, which was pure torture, but it also means he gets to start his vacation first out of all his friends. On the afternoon of his last exam, he goes to Bradley's room for the first time in what feels like years. "Oh, thank God it's you," Bradley mumbles. He leans into Colin for a second before pulling back. "I'm dying," Bradley announces quietly. Colin peers inside of Bradley's room and sees Ben at his own desk. "How many do you have left?" Bradley groans. 3 more. You're done, aren't you? Ugh, I don't even want to see you." But he's still smiling. He can't fool Colin. "I can be your moral support?" Colin asks. Bradley steps back a little and shakes his head. "I'm pretty sure you'd be a bad influence on me." Colin doubts that. He'd be happy if he could just sit in Bradley's room for a while, get away from Joe for just a couple of hours. Cause really, he loves the kid, but he's kind of getting sick of him now. And actually spend some time with Bradley for the first time since the supermarket incident thing. Colin's unsure what to call it. Colin's still a little fuzzy on what actually happened there and how that changes things, but he's pretty sure that everything is better now than when Bradley was painfully avoiding him. Ben starts complaining soon after, and they decide it would be better for everyone if Bradley would just go to Colin's room and study there, while making sure Joe doesn't suffocate himself. Bradley gets Colin's desk, which is for once delightfully empty, since Colin stuffed all his schoolbooks and notes in the back of his closet in a moment of, "It's all over," euphoria. Colin is content with sitting on his bed and watching Bradley and Joe, occasionally talking with either or both of them for a little while. Bradley and Joe don't seem to appreciate it, though, and after he asks them if they want something to drink or eat for the third time in 20 minutes, Bradley groans in distress and Joe somewhat explodes, and Colin finds himself being thrown out of his own room with nothing but his wallet and a cell phone in his pockets. "What's up, Colin?" Colin looks away from his dorm room door he's been dejectedly staring at for 5 minutes while trying to figure out what he should be doing now, to see Santiago smiling at him. "I just got kicked out of my room," Colin informs him somberly. Santiago is in all of Colin's art classes, and just like Colin, done with all of his exams. Santiago isn't only an amazingly nice guy, but his family is also loaded and therefore has a single room. Colin's forever grateful when Santiago invites him in. Bradley's close to shoving a pencil in his eye. This is what hell must feel like. Hell on earth. He looks down at his textbook and runs a finger over the edge, groaning at the number of pages he still has to finish. He would just go to bed and face the music tomorrow, but Bradley just isn't a quitter. And so he bravely sharpens his pencil and continues. When Colin walks back into the room a couple of minutes later, Bradley is even happier than he usually would be to see the boy. "Don't worry," Colin says immediately, holding up his arms in defense. "I'm just grabbing some stuff and then I'll be out of your hair again." Bradley frowns at the clock. "It's 2 a.m. Please don't tell me you're going to sleep with Ben in my room." Colin grabs some DVDs, some clothes, and his bag to stuff everything in. "Nah, I'm going to sleep at Santiago's room. He goes single." Colin frowns in Joe's direction. "Hey, Joe," he says to their snoring friend. Colin walks over to shake Joe's shoulder. "Go to sleep in your bed or keep studying, okay?" "Okay," Joe mumbles. He lies back down on the desk and continues snoring. Keep him awake, yeah?" Colin asks, before running out of the room again. Bradley stares at the door Colin just slammed closed. "Huh." Santiago has the most gorgeous girlfriend. And just like Santiago, she isn't only beautiful, but incredibly nice, too. "Oh, come on," Angel says. "Go out to dinner with us." "I wouldn't want to be the third wheel on a date," Colin says. He wonders why he can't seem to stop blushing around her. "It's not a date, Colin," she says. "It's not?" Santiago asks, frowning. Colin laughs and sips from the soda Angel brought him earlier. "Stop pushing the guy, Ange," Santiago says, pulling his girlfriend in a hug. Colin thinks about how Bradley's doing. Later, when Santiago and Angel are out to dinner, Colin has dinner with Katie at Richard's. When Colin goes back to Santiago's room, he passes his own to slip a card underneath the door. Sperm comes from men. They make it in their sheds. Crudely drawn sperm are swimming towards these words. "Don't try anything weird in my bed,"
he writes on the back. Half an hour later, he gets a text saying, "Disgusting! Joe's still here, you know." Bradley is a reasonable person. No, honestly, he is. Maybe he can react in a somewhat exaggerated or unnecessarily dramatic way at first, but usually he can rationalise things if he takes a while, or a couple of days, to think about them. Process them, if you will. Bradley, however, can't rationalise this. At all. "Where's Colin?" he asks Joe again.
"That Santiago dude,"
Joe says, yawning into a book.
"Isn't that where he's been for the last 4 days?
"I think so. Where else has he been sleeping?" Joe asks. "Didn't he know my last exam was this morning?" Joe says. "First off, I hate you for being done. Second, why should he care?" He scowls. "Stop trying to get my roommate to be your new best friend. That is so not cool. You have your own roommate."
"He's not my new best friend," Bradley grits out.
"And I love you too," Joe says flatly. "But now that you're finished, can you please go back to your own room and leave me be for the next 20 hours? Bradley stares at the door Joe just slammed shut in his face. His mind is still stuck on Collins with Santiago instead of me, though.
"Where are you?"
Bradley texts Colin on his way back to his room. Ben already packed his stuff and went home yesterday. Bradley liked the prospect of quiet. "Santiago's room. Why?"
"I don't know. Maybe I was wondering where my supposed boyfriend was after I just finished my last exam."
Bradley deletes the message and spends a good hour sulking in his room. Bradley isn't very good at sulking, though. Sulking asks for a lot of sitting still and pondering and stuff. And Bradley's bad at both of those things, especially the latter one. So instead, he decides to take matters into his own hands and go punch the Santiago guy in the mouth for taking all of Colin's time like that. No, honestly, Bradley is a reasonable person. When a guy opens the door, shirt half opened, as if a fully clothed version of him wouldn't have been impressive enough, Bradley finds himself staring, possibly mouth open. A lot of things had lodged themselves in Bradley's head on the short walk to the room where Colin had been staying for the past couple of nights, but the possibility that the Santiago guy could be very handsome had never really occurred to Bradley. Bradley says, "Is Colin here?" "Oh, he just left. You must be Joe, right?" Bradley makes a face. No, I'm Bradley." And he doesn't know why, but he quickly adds, "Colin's boyfriend." Which he technically is. They kissed, they had sex, and then they kissed again in the grocery store. Bradley might be new to homosexual, or any, relationships, but he figures that at least was a very good start. Except for the part where Bradley tried to ignore Colin for a couple of days and kept calling him mate and buddy in a weak attempt to keep any romantic feelings away. Judging by Santiago's face, Colin has not mentioned him yet.
"Great."
"He just left, actually," Santiago says, and then, after a long silence, "Do you maybe want to come in?" "Oh God, he's polite too." No, I'm good." Bradley doesn't want to get close enough to this guy to know if he smells as nice as he looks. Colin is used to getting anywhere between 300 and 700 text messages when he turns on his cell phone again. He has this bad habit of turning off his cell phone and then forgetting he did so. Usually, he only remembers to turn it back on when he suddenly wonders what Bradley's doing. Bradley is addicted to text messaging, Colin thinks. He's very fast at it too. So fast, in fact, that he always sends texts before he's said everything he's wanted to say. That's why people don't get a message from Bradley. They get at least two, most probably three or four. Not that Colin minds. This time, it's not Bradley's messages, though, that surprise Colin. It's the fact that he's got one from Santiago, his room he's only just left. For a moment, Colin worries if lately he only wants to hang out with weirdos and mobile phone abusers. "Your boyfriend was just here," it reads. "He looked upset. Thought I'd let you know." "Huh? Who? Bradley?" "Yeah, Bradley. You do only have one boyfriend, right?" Colin finds Bradley, and they have a fight. Bradley gives him nonsense excuses for being all moody, and Colin accuses Bradley of being a coward and never, ever knowing what he wants. "You want everything. That's your problem. You can't even manage to make simple decisions like which classes you want to take," Colin says.
Yeah, sorry for not being an art student like your buddy Santiago. And Colin doesn't even know what that means. All he knows is that he wanted to see Bradley, and instead of having a nice afternoon together, Bradley keeps picking stupid fights with him, and Colin's just frustrated beyond belief. Colin wants to yell at Bradley, accuse him of every nasty and mean thing he can think of, but he just can't. Instead, he just closes his eyes and counts to 10, very slowly, to keep himself from walking out. If he wants this thing between them to work, and he does, he'll have to learn to live with the fact that Bradley has his own way of thinking and processing things that's probably still foreign to any and all psychologists. And now it's basically Colin's job to try and figure out how that head of his works. Colin rubs his eyes and says, to a surprisingly quiet Bradley, "You're a complicated fellow, aren't you?" Bradley stares. He's not. He's simple, like a real man should be. Well, that's what his uncle always used to tell him. Then again, his uncle never got married and always smelled like whiskey. Colin locks the door and Bradley feels his face heating up. "What are you doing?" he somewhat squeaks. His uncle never said anything about real men and squeaking, so Bradley figures he's safe. "I'm locking your door so he won't be disturbed by whoever while you explain to me what's going on here. It's also locked to make sure you or I don't run." Ah, not what Bradley had expected. "Bradley..." Colin's eyes soften a bit. "I'm really trying to do whatever it is you want here," he says. "We sleep together and it's real great, but then the next day you act all weird around me. But then we go to that supermarket and you kiss me again and I think, so maybe he does want this and I'm not a total idiot. But then this afternoon you first tell someone you've never met before that you're my boyfriend, and then when I come to see what's wrong, you pick a fight with me and I'm just really..." Colin bites his lip. "Confused here, so you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do, okay?" Bradley wants to ask Colin if he thinks Bradley isn't totally confused by all of this, but he keeps his mouth shut because he realizes that Colin isn't actually confused about that night, just about all the things Bradley's done ever since. Bradley basically feels like a giant asshole again. "You're not an idiot," Bradley says. "I am." And he goes over to the desk and gets out his last card. A man is handing a flower to a lady. The man says, "Hello, fair maiden. I am a Dickinson dandy. Would you like to be my girlfriend?" The woman replies, "You are fucking weird." "I bought this," Bradley says, "weeks ago. And at the time, I didn't even know why I bought it. It was just there all of a sudden in my bag. And I honest to God didn't know what to do with it. I was afraid someone would find it, that you'd find it, and so I hid it. And then that night happened, and ever since then, I suddenly understood why I'd bought it, and I just haven't been able to stop thinking about it. And about you." Colin doesn't really say anything, just stares down at the card for a couple more minutes. "In case you're wondering," Bradley adds, "I'm the one with the hat, and you're the one calling me a weirdo." "I'm pretty sure I wouldn't call you weird if you asked me to be your boyfriend," Colin says. "Honestly," Bradley thinks, and feels his heart swell uncomfortably. "If you'd asked me to be your girlfriend, however," Colin says, reaching out for Bradley. "They don't make gay ones," Bradley says, taking Colin's hand. "I checked." "So you're going to ask me?" Colin asks. "Are you going to say yes?" And in the end, it's a good thing that Colin locked the door. Colin kisses his way up Bradley's neck, hot and insistent, and Bradley's hands slide down to grab at Colin's hip. They stumble to the bed and don't even bother with taking off any clothes. They simply shove anything that's in the way up or down and pant in each other's mouths the whole time. It's nothing like Bradley remembered it being the first time. It's so much better.
Don't got a lot of time. Don't give a damn. Don't tell me what to do, I am the man. If there's a God up there, something above, God shine your light down here, shine on the love, love of the loveless.